It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, drama. Later on, it's Hollywood Start Time with the man who played the great Gildersleeve on radio. But first, an episode of 7 Front Street, a relatively rare episode from the Mutual Broadcasting System, the story called The Sheik, from May 4th, 1947.
Are you bored? Do you have that want-to-get-away-from-it-all feeling? Then why not get up and go as you are to 7 Front Street? If you hurry, there's still time to join the popular author, Kenneth Alan King, on his weekly visit to this famous waterfront night spot. If you like romance and adventure, highly seasoned with the unexpected, then start right now. Make a beeline for 7 Front Street.
Hey, what's the big idea? Why don't you look where you're going?
You and Anna forgive me for my clumsiness. My excitement at returning to 7 Front Street, I must have forgotten that other people exist.
Well, for a guy your size, that could be dangerous. You don't mind my asking, Lil isn't by any chance throwing a pre-Halloween shindig tonight, is he?
Oh, you refer to the Christian festival, the evening preceding All Hallows and All Saints Day, October 31st. And my dress.
Perfect for the occasion. You don't even need a mask.
In the Arabian desert, I could say the same about you. You will excuse me now. I'm already late for my appointment. Again, I express my regret for having bumped into you.
Oh, that's all right. I'm glad you did.
Oh, are you going also into 7 Front?
I don't think you could keep me up. I mean, yes, I also am going in.
Hey, everybody, here he comes. Here comes the Sheik.
I've been trying to get you on the phone all afternoon to tell you about the Sheik coming to town. Hey, he's got a story for your book that'll knock you right out of your pen.
He's also got a frame that has the same effect. He bumped into me outside. Who is he, a fugitive from MGM Pictures?
Sit out and sharpen your pencil. And better use your asbestos notepad. His story's a fire hazard.
Salaam alaikum. Peace be with thee.
The same to you, Sheiky, old boy.
Once again, Allah has granted me the privilege of another pilgrimage to your wonderful land and my beloved 7 Front Street. By the sacred star of the East, I hope that the past year has been as kind to you as it has to me. Come now, share my happiness with me. As we say in Arabia, the drinks are on me.
When does he pitch his tent and the dancing girls come in?
He's a handsome dog, ain't he? It's illegal for one guy to have everything he's got.
And that look in your eye, Lil, his story will get my book banned in Boston.
No, nothing like that, Jesse.
No?
Guy taking notes. Name, Ahmed Ben Youssef.
Mm-hmm.
Youssef is Arab for Joe.
Right.
Ahmed's father was a big-shot sheik, in Arab they call it sheik. He was loaded with what passed off for Arabian dough and enough power to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
When Ahmed came of age, he got the surprise of his life, for instead of taking over the tribe like was the custom, the old man decided that the boy should go to America to make a study of the more modern ways of living, of civilization. Now, Ahmed had his heart set on leading his father's desert tribe, but he was an obedient son, and off to America he went. Ahmed's first visit was to a big oil man who'd done business with the old sheik. And who promised to look after the boy.
Well, Ahmed, do you have anything special in mind you'd like to learn about America?
My beloved father, Allah protect him, spoke of America as a country of 48 great tribes living in peace with each other. The small and weak with the large and powerful.
Tribes? We don't have any Arabs over here. Oh, tribes. You mean states. Our 48 states.
My father called them tribes. He wanted me to come here to learn their secret, to make me better suited to succeed him as leader of the tribe of Arab and Asi.
But I don't quite get your father's idea. I mean, why he should want to improve on the perfect setup he's got. He's the law of the desert. Even the government's polite to him. They darn well better be.
But my father knows why this is.
So does every other caravansarian sheik from Damascus to Medina. He's got power. A fierce fighting tribe. He's big and not to be talked back to.
My father said so also is the tribe of Texas very big, but is not feared by even such small tribe as the one from the island of Rhodes.
You mean the state of Rhode Island?
Allah, forgive me for my ignorance. I'm very stupid in your ways. I hope I will not embarrass you too much.
Oh, don't worry about that. Liable to be the other way around. My daughter and her friends are quite excited about a real Arabian sheik staying at our house. They might embarrass you.
Before Ahmed knew what had hit him, he was a big man of the social set, with a heavy accent on the female end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he made great progress in his study of the American way, but not of our government.
Come on, Ahmed. I'll give you another dancing lesson. We can't have you going back to Arabia without knowing how to cut a rug.
I'm very sorry, mademoiselle, but I have to promise.
I know, I know. You promised Ray's a braid and you'd meet her out on the terrace. I heard you.
But,
I think you'll learn about America from her that I can't teach you.
Oh, but she has asked to learn of Arabia from me.
Oh, I beg your pardon. That's one angle I didn't think of. Tuesday for Teresa.
I don't quite understand.
You will before you go back to Arabia. Salamalek, handsome.
Seems they're learning my ways more quickly than I theirs.
Oh, here you are, Ahmed. I was afraid you'd forgotten me.
Seems that my only consistent failure of memory is remembering my beloved father's purpose in sending me here to America.
But doesn't this come under the heading of learning always?
I don't think my father, Sheikh Abd bin Ali, would approve of my teaching the women of Araby to be so soft and tempting. Allah has provided little space in the desert for gentle beauty such as yours. Men are but mirrors of the land in which they were born. The desert is silent, ruthless, and sometimes treacherous.
I'd never believe that of you.
Another art the desert forces one to learn for self-preservation. Deception.
I don't think you're deceiving me, Ami.
You will excuse me, I wish to speak to your father about purchasing a flying machine. My father instructed to add that to my list of accomplishments here in America.
If that's a sample of Arabian deception on it, it's far inferior to ours.
May Allah seal my lips forever if I speak an untruth.
It isn't necessary to call on Allah to do that, Amit. Not as long as I'm here.
Well, Lil, I think you can save your breath on this one. Because I know just how the story going to end. Ahmed went for Braden's daughter and told the old man to get another boy to head up his tribe.
Okay, Junior. You write it up that way in your book. And I'll give the real story to Sammy Kane of the time.
Huh? Well, isn't that the payoff?
No. Ahmed wasn't shooting the breeze about the desert being treacherous. The only thing he forgot to tell Tariq Braden was that what made it that way were people like his half-brother Nazir, who, because of having a different mother, was only a few weeks younger than Ahmed.
Hmm.
Nazir's mother brought him up believing he'd been robbed, and that anything he did to latch onto the sheik's title would get the nod of approval from everybody, including Allah himself. Nazir took his mama at her word.
Hassan.
Yes, Master Nazir.
Have the headmen, the camel and horsemen, been attended to?
Those who refused gold accepted my Damascus blade in humble silence.
And my brother Ahmed's personal servant?
Khalil disappeared with the sun tonight. I've dispatched two of my swiftest riders to search for him.
No matter. Khalil is too ancient to be of much bother. You may wait here, Hassan. I'll not be long. And upon my return for your loyalty and help, I shall accord you the honor of being the first to greet me as the new sheik of the powerful tribe of Abd bin Ali.
Salam alaikum.
Terani bila, ya sheik babak anadakali. By the Lord, thou seest me, my father, and I do enter, sir, under thy protection.
What? Oh, Nazir. What foul wind brings thee into my tent at such an hour?
The light of your lamp, sire.
Allah curse my eyelids for refusing to shut. What do you want?
Your amulet.
What?
Oh, for the phase of the full moon, your eyelids have refused to close because of your concern for Ahmed.
Four ships have docked at Medina, laden with everything but news from him.
Before you sent Ahmed to America to study the ways of its people, you told him that in the event Allah should call you in his absence, I would inherit your amulet to lead our tribe until he returned.
Nazir, You have been cursed by your mother with a treacherous heart. Do you think I would allow you to usurp Ahmed's rightful place and to defile the honor of my tribe? Besides, do I look as though I have been called by Allah?
No, my beloved father. But in a few moments, you shall...
Nazir, master.
Is it?
Adam, you may announce to our tribesmen that Allah has called our venerated chief, Orda bin Ali, to his eternal peace, and that I have assumed my rightful role as leader of our people.
Salam. Salam. Salam.
And one other thing, Adam. Take this key to my father's treasures and dole out to each man in the royal guard one piece of gold, as well as sufficient skins of the finest wine.
But, Nazir... Master, your dead father and wine drinking?
Oh, I'm sure my father won't mind.
You don't think you know how this story ends, Kelly?
Well, you sort of threw me a curve with this Nazir character rubbing out his old man and taking over.
A couple more curves I'll throw you. If you'll hold base a few minutes while I give my clam chowder a look in.
I'll go outside for a few minutes.
Well, I think Lil pulled my leg tonight.
What? Not about the shake, she ain't.
Oh, it's you, huh?
Nice of you to be recollecting me, Mr. King. I know there ain't no use in me trying to interest you in my story tonight. On account of you was lucky the shake blew in.
A good story, huh?
Of the rarer type. Like mine.
Now, look, fella, if you think I'd ever pay you $50 for a story without even knowing what it's about, you're just off your noggin.
Okay, Mr. King. I'm not overly eager to bare my soul for money. And if it was not essential, I would skip the half a yard.
But why is $50 essential?
That's the snapper to the story. Say, I see Lil coming back through the glass. You better go back.
Yeah, thanks.
Not it's in for the rest of the Sheik story, are you, Kenny?
Now, quit stalling, Bill. What happened after Nazir throttled the old Sheik and set himself up in Ahmed's place?
Well, as you can imagine, it was months before Ahmed learned that his father was dead.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, Ahmed did buy an army surplus plane and managed to learn to fly it fairly well. Considering the little time Therese Braden let him out of her sight.
Yeah.
Then one day, a weird-looking character came up to the Braden mansion, asked for Ahmed, and told him the story.
I do not believe a word you say. Lying filth comes from your mouth.
Eh?
You are lying, aren't you? Tell me you are lying before I tell you about it.
Take it easy, pal.
What point would there be in me lying to you? This old Arab come up to me on the docks, asked me to deliver a message to you that your old man kicked the bucket a couple of months ago. That some flyweight took over his job and was running your pop's joint right in the ground. He also said that you should stay where you were, not to come back, because it wasn't healthy. For promising to try to find you and tell you, he give me a couple of pieces of gold and this ring. Collins ring? Yeah, that's the guy. Collins. Now, would you please unwind my arm?
I'm sorry.
Allah bless you for your kindness. Here. Take this money. You mean all of it?
I want the ring.
It ain't worth that much, pal. It's only a little gold band with a little Arab doodad on it.
To me, it's worth a kingdom. Salaam alaikum.
Eh? Oh, the same to you, pal. And many of them. Teresa.
Oh, you frightened me. I knew you'd come in if I started to play that song, but usually you're more gentle.
Teresa, I must return to Arabia. Immediately.
Why? What happened?
My father, Allah rest his soul, dead. My half-brother, Nazir, has taken over the leadership of our tribe, and I've been warned by my faithful servant, Khalil, not to return.
Then why do it?
And let a treacherous dog like Nazir usurp my rightful place? Crush every hope of my beloved father for a more peaceful, a more united country? Oh, the curse is crawling soul. Teresa, you will go with me. As an Arabian sheikh, I have the authority to proclaim you my legal bride. Later, I will submit to a Christian marriage.
Serious?
Could I lift my eyes to Allah's heavens if I were otherwise? Happy, please. Take only what you need for the trip. You will buy clothes in Damascus or Paris later.
Ahmed, you're talking like an idiot. I'm not going anywhere with you. Certainly not as your wife.
You are already my wife. I have proclaimed it.
Oh, don't be stupid. You're not an Arabian.
Over a full moon ago, you avowed your love for me.
Of course I was fascinated by you. What woman wouldn't be? But you make it all sound so serious, as though it were a matter of life and death.
In the desert, that is exactly how man and woman look at love.
Will you try to get it through your head that we're not in the desert?
That geographical discrepancy, I shall rectify.
I believe it is safe
for me to untie you now, Teresa.
Oh, I wouldn't if I were you. After all, we're only several thousand feet in the air, probably over the ocean.
I had to take you with me, Teresa. Please don't be afraid. No harm will come to you.
You're the one who should be afraid. It isn't enough that you're flying straight into the teeth of trouble with your brother Nazir, but...
Nazir is well-versed in the act of treachery.
You're also guilty of a little thing called kidnapping, which carries the penalty of death in the U.S.
Well, the prospects of my future aren't very promising, are they?
Do you expect them to be otherwise?
The Arab has a saying that Allah stores the hope of man in the eyes of woman.
The only hope you'll find in my eyes is that you get everything you deserve.
I will. Have no fear. Allah will see to it.
Well, up to now, little, Ahmed's story made sense, but why did he suddenly go dime novel? Stick his neck out on an international scale by Shanghai and the oil man's daughter.
Well, why do you write books? Why does Einstein like arithmetic? Why do I run a joint like Seven Front Street? He just did it.
Well, the guy must be a hound for trouble.
And he got plenty of it when he landed.
Now, Teresa, you can relax. You have nothing to fear, for this is my land, my country, and my people. Just as soon as I've given Nazir to understand that his temporary leadership of my father's tribe is at end, we can both begin to test the reality of our love for each other. It was as real as it seemed in America. It will not vanish in the vast stillness of the desert.
Ahmed, that was a shot. If anything happens to me
Nothing will happen to you. Dogs! Under Nazir, my father's guards have become too lazy to identify the targets.
Halt! I will shoot to kill.
And another word of filth from you, and your devil's head will roll in the sand.
Oh, here! Here!
And I'm glad of it. Maybe your brother Nazir is the civilized one.
I warn you to halt, or I will shoot.
You'll be dragged behind a horse from one end of the Sahara to the other for this. I'm the leader. Ahmed Ben Youssef.
Take him, guard.
How dare you touch me? I'm your Sheikh, Ahmed Ben Youssef.
Welcome on, my brother. Oh, Hassan, you must be more careful with your firearm.
Nazir, do you want me to forget you are my father's son and half-brother?
If you wish, Ahmed. But for your sake, I would pray long and hard to Allah that I don't forget. Hassan, take him away and treat him as the half-brother of the sheikh of the tribe of Abdul Ben Ali. Until I give orders to the contrary.
Yes, master.
Salam alaik, my brother. What a pity you did not take Khalil's warning and remain in America. He paid with his two hands to send that warning to you. And now, mademoiselle, I pray you and Allah will forgive my rudeness. But if you will permit me to escort you to my private quarters, you may refresh or relax yourself and wait in comfort and safety until the authorities arrive from Damascus to see that you are returned safely to your father in America. On behalf of my people and my tribe, I apologize for the uncivilized actions of my half-brother.
You know?
Oh, we are not as isolated from the outside world as you may imagine. You were brought here by my brothers against your will, weren't you?
Why, yes.
I tried to tell my father that Ahmed was not the man to succeed him, simply because he preceded me into this world by a matter of a few weeks. Tradition is only valuable as long as it serves the needs of those who adhere to it.
What will you do with Ahmed?
Oh, after the way he has treated you, do you care?
No. No, I don't.
Good. You're not only a beautiful young woman, but equally wise.
Ahmed's old servant. He raised Ahmed. He sent Ahmed the message about his father.
You have a remarkable memory. Ahmed must have told you much of himself. Perhaps too much.
You said something about his servant Khalil paying with his hands.
Oh, a light punishment for treachery against his sheikh.
How long will it be before the officials arrive from Damascus to take me back to my father?
Oh, officials the world over are all alike about the unconcern of time's passing. But no matter. You or anyone else has nothing more to fear from Ahmed. Ahmed, stupid as your actions with the American girl have proved you to be, you still should have no difficulty in realizing I will never relinquish this amulet, symbol of the power of the Sheik of our tribe.
You obtained it with the blood of my father.
I ordered Hassan to tell you. I wanted to impress you with the seriousness of my ambition. However, since I am eager to impress our people and the young American girl, but I am not a savage beast of the desert, I shall spare you any further unpleasantness if you wish to leave our country and return to America. Forever.
I am staying here, where I belong.
I still wish to be generous with you, Ahmed. I shall do my very best to change your mind.
Hassan, I think you might allow my brother to relax for a while.
Well, Ahmed, doesn't the thought of returning to America appeal to you more now?
I'll stay here until the last drop of blood is drained from my body.
Oh, what a nuisance for us both. Thirsty, Ahmed? In this heat, you must be. Here's water. The officials will be here tomorrow to take the American girl back to her father. With the aid of my doctors, I could manage to get you in shape to return with her. I'm sure you could persuade her to drop charges against you for kidnapping. With all her intelligence, she still seems to be rather fond
get
of
out.
You.
Get out! Get out before I... Teresa!
You are delirious, Anna.
Teresa, go away.
Mademoiselle, what are you doing here? How did you get by the guards?
Last night you told me that every man had his price. You were right. I wanted to see Ahmed before I left for America.
You've seen. You see now why I had to come back. You've seen the treachery of the desert.
Come, mademoiselle, you must not stay in here. This is no place for a woman.
Oh, it doesn't bother me, Nazir. I rather expected this is what I would see.
It is nothing more than what he deserved.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
I'm sorry my guards accepted bribe from my guest at my house. Point them out to me, and they shall be returned immediately.
Ahmed will see to that, my dear.
Oh, well, the beauty and intelligence. You have also a magnificent sense of humor. You Americans are a remarkable people.
Yes, we are. It's really amazing how many people insist upon underestimating us.
Yes, like my brother Ahmed, for instance.
Like you, for instance, Nadia.
But be careful, he's treacherous.
Yes, Ahmed, I know. You told me. You even warned me, and you thought I didn't listen, pay any attention. It's an American quality.
Mademoiselle, kindly explain yourself.
I will when you've handed me the amulet of your tribe. Oh. And released Ahmed.
Mademoiselle, I must warn you that the fact that you are an American national under my protective custody does not give you the right to violate the laws of my domain, nor does it make you immune for any such violation.
You murdered Ahmed's father and bought your tribe's allegiance with his gold, so you're not immune from similar treachery.
Where did you get that revolver?
I paid a higher price to your trusted headman, Hassan, for it than you did. Hand me that amulet.
What?
You took it after you killed your father. Give it to me.
If you think a frail slip of a girl can frighten the great...
Please, look out here, the Bedouin!
What has happened? I heard gunfire.
Yes, Hassan. You'll hear more if you don't hurry and release Ahmed then yourself.
Sheik Nazir, what have you done to
him? Put him in his place, that's all. Oh. Get doctors quickly, Hassan. One for Nazir and one for the Sheik Ahmed Ben Ali.
The Sheik Ahmed Ben...
Hurry! Americans don't like kill unless they're forced to.
Yes, mademoiselle.
Teresa, what... What have you done? Why?
Here, Ahmed. This is what you came back to Arabia to wear.
The amulet of my tribe. But Teresa... I thought you hated me.
So did I. Until I saw and heard what Nazir had done and was doing to you.
You said you were pleased about it. But I deserved it.
American wives are all like that, Ahmed.
American wives?
They crab and scream and yap their heads off at their husbands. Bounce rolling pins off their heads at regular intervals. Wish them all the bad luck they can think of when they're mad at them. But let somebody else come along and so much as raise a finger at their man, there's war.
You speak of wives.
Didn't you say that as sheik you had the legal power to pronounce me your wife?
But...
Another American trail, Tommy. We give the impression that we make light of the more serious things like marriage, but we don't really. Deceitful lot, aren't we? And by the way, Ahmed, will I be known as a seeker?
I knew how the story would end, Lil. I saw it coming a mile away.
Okay, wise guy.
Teresa got hep that her yen for Ahmed wasn't a mirage. So she let their marriage stick, and they lived happily ever after as sheik and sheikess. And I imagine later on they had a couple of little sheiklets.
How did you guess it, Janet?
Well, it's the same old story, but it's always good.
Yeah. Especially when you know the connection between that story and Ahmed making a regular pilgrimage to 7 Front Street.
Oh, say, that's right. I forgot about that. What is the connection?
He likes my clam chowder. See you later, Kenny.
He likes her clam chowder. That Lil is a killer, all right.
Well, did you get the chief's story, Mr. King?
Yeah, including the snapper about why he comes down here to 7 Front Street.
You mean Lil really told you?
Well, it's a dark secret, but I can tell you. It's because he likes Lil's clam chowder.
Oh. I thought she'd hold out on you.
So you know the real reason?
Sure. But put the clam chowder ending in your book. It will tend to titillate the interest of your readers. Like I'm titillating you to know why I gotta have $50 to tell you my story. Good night, Mr. King.
Well, you can take Lil's clam chowder ending, or leave it. Anyhow, glad you took the time to be with me tonight. And so until we meet again, it's good night from Kenneth Allen King and 7 Front Street.
7 Front Street, on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from the 4th of May, 1947, on Mutual. You're listening to An Hour of Drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now we have a comedian in a dramatic role. It's Harold Perry, who starred as the great Gildersleeve on Hollywood Star Time. You'll hear his famous dirty laugh from that sitcom show, which he played in exclusively from the year of this broadcast, 1948, diverting from the model of the show a few times to appear on the guest star series as the Great Gildersleeve, and also an episode of a show called We Care, where he didn't play the Great Gildersleeve, but was paired alongside the man who would end up replacing him on the show, Willard Waterman. They surprisingly had a similar-sounding voice. This next broadcast is called Elmer the Great, from January 24th, 1948, on NBC.
Hollywood Star Time, direct from Hollywood. Tonight, the radio production of a hilarious comedy success by Ring Lardner entitled Elmer the Great, starring Harold Perry, better known as the Great Gildersleeve. Now, here is our Saturday evening host, Herbert Marshall.
Good evening. Our play is a balmy masterpiece by the late Ring Lardner entitled Elmer the Great. Elmer is a baseball pitcher, and as everyone knows, baseball pitchers are even balmier than spring. So our star...
Howdy, fans. Howdy, Bart. You see, I'm already getting into character.
Harold the Great Gildersleeve Perry. Welcome to Hollywood Star Time, Hal.
Bart, I love it. Gives me a chance to prove to my numerous relatives that, after all, I'm an actor. Of course, my true love is Gildersleeve. But I've been with him so long, I'm sure he'll get a kick out of me tonight just for being the great something else.
Great. Well, it's time to unveil Harold the Great Gildersleeve Perry as Elmer the Great. And the best place to unveil him is in the kitchen of his home in Indiana. So, fans, here is the pride of Gentryville, Indiana, Elmer Kane.
Quiet, quiet, dang it all, shut up.
Oh, I tried to tell them, Elmer.
That's right, Elmer, she said.
Now, wait, Nellie. I said Elmer doesn't want to play, I said. Elmer's tuckered and he should go up and lie down.
That's right, Elmer.
Yes, that's what I said. And you can ask Nellie Poole or Mr.
Wade, Madam Wade. Now, look here, Elmer. I came all the way out here from New York just to sign you up for the team. You can't just say no. It's unconstitutional.
Why can't I?
Because we paid $10,000 for your contract, that's why. We bought you from Port Wayne. Besides, you're a baseball pitcher. Baseball pitchers ain't supposed to have enough sense to say no. They just pitch.
Well, I ain't going to go to New York. I don't like New York.
Well, how do you know? You ain't never been there.
I don't have to go no place not to like it. I can just sit right here in Indiana and not like it, see? Besides, I'm tired. Going up and lay down. Ma, I sure hope you're going to have a right good supper, because I'm going to be powerful hungry.
Well, Elmer, you just ate a whole ham for lunch.
That's all over, boss. Let bygones be bygones. So long, folks. I'm plumb tired.
I guess that does it. Well, I can't just sit around this tank town waiting for a busher to make up his mind. Got to join the club down in Florida by Friday morning.
Well, it's a pity you can't reason with Elmer. I know he's a good pitcher because he told me he was. And we certainly could use the money, but Elmer is Elmer. Mercy, I smell my cake burning.
I'm burning, too. Maybe she smells me.
Mr. Wade.
Yeah, what is it, Miss Poole?
You got that contract with you?
Here it is. Offering that bum $5,000 for the season.
Well, you see, Elmer works for me at the store. And, he sort of pays attention to what I say. And I thought maybe if I could talk to him alone, well, maybe I could get him to listen to reason. After all, the whole town's counting on him to make good.
Listen, miss, he's the best sidewinding pitcher since Walter Johnson. But I'm not going to hang around here trying to sell him a gallon of my blood.
Elmer just likes Gentryville, Mr. Wade. He thinks if the New Yorks want him to pitch for him, they should come out here to Indiana and play.
Sure. And we would, too. Except we got some other commitments for the next few months. Are you kidding?
No, that's just the way Elmer thinks.
Oh, please don't. That's all we need, a pitcher who's given to thinking. Well, we had one last season who thought us right into the cellar.
Well, let me try, Mr. Wade. Will you be at the Mansion House?
Yeah. If anything breaks, give me a ring. Well, I'll leave the contract with you. Sure isn't going to do me any good if he doesn't sign. Well, good luck, kid. I sure wish you could pitch.
Elmer!
Yeah?
You get up and get decent, Elmer, because I'm coming upstairs to talk to you right this minute.
Gee, boss, sure am tired this afternoon.
Elmer Kane, what's got into you?
Nothing, boss. Why?
Don't you lie there and tell me that. You're acting like you've got hookworms.
Oh, Nellie, don't be mean to me.
Elmer, don't you know that everybody in Gentryville is rooting for you to be a big shot, and you're letting them down?
I didn't ask them to worry about me.
They know what a wonderful pitcher you are.
I can't help it if I'm wonderful, Nellie. I'm just plain wonderful, that's all.
Then you're afraid of the big leagues.
Me? Well, I could take all the teams in both leagues and make them look like they was leaning against the station, watching the limited whiz by.
Then it's the money.
I wouldn't play with the New Yorks for a million.
But you can't play anywhere else now. They bought you.
I'm going to play right here in Gentryville.
Look at this contract. Do you know how much $5,000 is?
Sure, but you're just trying to trap me into counting.
Elmer Kane, if you don't go to New York, you're going to end up a big failure, like Artie Treadstill. Do you want to be like Artie?
Shucks, what's the matter with Artie?
You know darn well. He's been whittling so long in front of the courthouse that when he cut his finger off last week, he didn't even know it for 3 days.
Oh, boss, you're just giving me a bad time. You get inside of me and make me tell things I don't want to tell.
Well, you better tell me this time, Elmer.
Well, shucks, the reason I ain't going nowhere no how is you, Nellie.
Me?
Oh, gee, boss, you must have noticed something. The way I look at you down at the store when you're measuring ribbon. The way my heart keeps flopping around when I hold a ladder for you. Why, look here. Right in the back of my 17-jewel watch, you see? Been carrying your picture all the time, right next to my heart. Except when I'm just wearing pants.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, guess I sure got it bad, Nellie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Elmer. Really, I am.
Huh? What you mean, Nellie?
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. You see, well, Elmer, I just don't feel that way towards you. Well, I like you.
You mean you ain't fell in love with me?
No.
You mean I've been feeling this way all by myself? Well, what do you know?
And another thing. After this, I guess you better not come to work at the store. Goodbye, Elmer.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes,
Elmer? You forgot your paper.
Oh, that's just that old contract. Goodbye.
Hello. Thought you'd never answer, Susie. Listen, give me the mansion house. Yeah, I want to talk to that feller from New York. You bet I'm going. Yes, sirree. There ain't no flies on me, gal. I'm going to New York and show them fellers how to play baseball.
Yep, that's our Elmer. And as he says, there ain't no flies on him. Well, Elmer has finally joined the club in Florida, and his charming lack of modesty has not exactly endeared him to his mates on the team. Quite the contrary. As our scene opens, to coin a phrase, a few of the boys are gathered in the manager's room at his hotel, and the manager has Elmer on the telephone.
No, Elmer, that was a mistake. We didn't expect you to go out to the field and work out with the rookies. No, I don't blame you for being sore. But look, Elmer, before you pack up and go home, mate, come on down to my room. We got a big surprise for you. Yeah, come on down. Room 233. It's marked on the door. 233. Yeah, two and two threes. Attaboy.
Hey, what's this big surprise you got for him?
Oh, I don't know. We'll just have to figure something out.
Say, I got an idea, Walker. Whose heat lamp is this?
Mine, lame brain. I use it on my knee for Charlie.
Well, Elmer's ambition is to talk over the radio.
So what?
So we take this lamp, tell him it's a microphone, and let him talk to it.
Hey, quiet. Shut up. Maybe it's him. Come in.
Hey.
Well, look who's here. Evelyn Corey, Miss Broadway herself. Hiya, baby.
Hiya, boys.
Hey, what are you doing down here?
This is my hometown. My sister's getting married, so I took a powder on the show and came over.
Listen, Evelyn, I've got an idea.
Something you ate, Mr. Walker?
Now, look, kid. We got a ball player on the club this year we're having trouble with. Will you play straight for me, no matter what I tell him, or for laughs, you understand?
What's the trouble? Is he a jerk?
The village square.
Sure, I'll go along with you play. Where is he?
Hold everything. Hold it. Yeah? Who's there?
Mr. Kane.
Is he kidding?
Pipe down. Oh, well, come in, Elmer. Well, Elmer, I'm sure sorry you had to go out to the park today. Imagine some dope sending you out with the rookies. No wonder you're sore.
I'm sore, all right. But it always takes me about 2 weeks to get over being sore. What's the surprise you said there was? Something to eat?
First let me present to you Miss Evelyn Corey of the New York State.
Hello, Elmer.
And Evelyn, this is Elmer Kane himself. Elmer the Great in the flesh. The fastest ball pitcher in the country.
Yeah, or in the city either.
Oh. Well, I'm certainly glad to meet you, Elmer. Gee.
Well, that's all right. Well, what's the big surprise you fellas were saying about?
Well, ain't you surprised to meet Miss Corey?
What for? Is she a female pitcher?
Oh. Wait a minute, boys. I guess Elmer doesn't really understand who Miss Corey is. You see, Elmer, Miss Corey is a big wheel in radio.
Yeah?
Yeah. President Truman couldn't get away, so he asked Evelyn to drop down here and ask you to say a few words over the radio. You know, just a few modest words about yourself. Yeah, and all you have to do, Elmer, is to speak right out loud into that.
What's that?
That's a new type of microphone, Elmer.
Oh, just talk right into her.
That's right. Now, we're all ready to go anytime you are. America is waiting.
Okay, let's go.
Good, I'll introduce you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Evelyn Corey speaking. It is my good fortune to introduce now one of the greatest figures the game of baseball has ever known.
Tell him I'm a pitcher.
The great pitcher, Mr. Elmer Kane.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
It's afternoon.
It's after what?
Go ahead, Elmer. Shut up, you guys. Keep quiet.
Yeah. This here's Elmer Kane speaking.
Coke Kane's brother.
Hey! I'm going to pop somebody if you fellas don't shut up.
Shut up, fella. Go on, Elmer. Go on.
And louder. They can't hear you.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This here's Elmer Cain speaking. Wish all the little boys in America the best of luck in baseball, the same like I and Babe Ruth and others. I'm glad the New Yorks have got me, and I guess the New Yorks will be glad to get back into the World Series. In the World Series, they ain't going to use nothing but my fast and my donner, and I guess that'll be plenty and how.
Say a few words to President Truman.
What?
President Truman. He's listening in.
Sure. Good evening, Harry. This is Elmer Cain speaking. I hope you'll be at the World Series to see four straight games won by I and the New Yorks.
Mention Mrs. Truman.
What?
Mention Mrs. Truman.
Oh. You better bring Mrs. Truman along, too, Harry, and she can meet me, too. Night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless all the little children, especially baseball fans. Yours truly, Elmer Cain. Now you can clap if you want to.
Oh, you are wonderful, Elmer, just wonderful. You know who you sound like?
Who?
Frank Sinatra.
Who's he, an outfielder? Hey, look out, fellas. That's the dinner bell, and I'm hungry.
I don't understand, Mr. Stillman.
Well, you see, Elmer's been gambling this pool. Dice.
Oh.
Yeah. A gambler named Crabtree got these IOUs from him, see? Look, one for 500, one for $2,000, one for $3,000.
That's more than Elmer will make all season.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a stubborn boy, and that's why we come to you. Now, look, we've heard you have some influence on him, see? So all you got to do is just put your signature on this innocent little document. Don't cost you nothing. Just put
well,
it there.
Well, what does it say?
Ah, nothing to worry about. Now, listen to it. Dear Elmer, to pay off the $5,500 you owe to Mr. Crabtree, I have mortgaged the house.
But I didn't.
Listen, Nellie, if this debt isn't cleared up, Crabtree will expose him to the manager, and Elmer will never pitch in the World Series.
Oh, no.
Now, to save him, I'm willing to put up the money for him. But I know he won't take it unless he thinks it comes from you, see?
Well, what else does the letter say?
All right, now listen. I am sure you'll do whatever Mr. Stillman says so that you can get the money to pay.
What does this letter mean, Mr. Stillman?
Just what it says, Elmer. That poor girl. She mortgaged your property to pay off your IOUs to Crabtree.
Why, that dirty Crabtree, I'd kill him right now if he was here. Well, Nellie will get hers, every nickel. And by Henry, I'll win this pennant now and bring this club into the World Series if I have to pitch every darn game here in St. Louis myself.
Now, listen, Kane, don't be a sucker. There's a lot of ball players on this club beside you. And take it from me, several of them have already listened to reason.
What do you mean?
Yeah. I'm giving you $5,500.
$5,500?
That's right. Stick it right in your kick and just put your name on this paper.
I don't get this. What do I have to sign something for?
Oh, just a receipt, just to prove I've delivered it, though.
Gee, I don't know, feller.
Well, me, you better take Nellie's advice and do what I say.
Okay. Shucks, I don't understand all this. Guess I'm in pretty deep, huh?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. All you got to do is just throw that apple kind of down the middle where the St. Louis's can hit it once in a while, that's all. Nothing shady or nothing like that. Just honest mistake. You get it?
Yeah. Sure, I get it.
And Elmer, there's nothing else you can possibly do.
Why did I ever roll the bones of that Crabtree feller? I'm all washed up. All washed up. Nellie. Gee, Nellie, I'm sure
Elmer, that we've been tricked.
Tricked?
I didn't see through it all back in Indiana when the man came to see me. Not until I thought it over. And then I come here to St. Louis on the first plane. Elmer, you didn't follow the advice in that letter.
You mean that letter he writ me?
Yeah, only I didn't. He did. And I signed it. Only I shouldn't have. He's a crook.
Nellie, pitch him down the middle, he said, so the St. Louis's can hit him.
Elmer, you didn't agree.
Great smoked fish, Nellie, I've been had. I see it all now. The old squeeze play, and I gave that guy a receipt and promised. Oh, boiled beaver biscuits, I'm sunk, Nellie.
Never say die. Remember, Elmer, we're from Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah. Glad you said that, Nellie.
Elmer. Oh, there you are.
Yep, here I am, Evelyn.
Evelyn, the manager told me to find you, baby. He wants to see you right away.
Okay, I'll be there.
Hey, I'm catching today, kid. Am I catching you?
Crowley, you're the only fellow who can help me. Evelyn, tell Mr. Dave I'll be right up.
Okay.
Crowley, this is my friend Nellie Poole. She's got a letter to show you.
Here.
Read it. And I want you to do something for me. And then I'm going to start warming up. I'm going in there today and pitch them goofballs. I'm going to lick those slickers if I never do anything in my whole life.
Wait a minute now.
Yes, boss?
Who is that pretty girl that knows you well enough to call you
okay,
Elmer?
Okay, I read the letter. What do you want me to do, shoot some guy?
Go down to Riley's and bet this 5,500 spondulics even money that I win this ball game today. You got it?
Got it.
And me, I'm going to see the manager right now.
Elmer Kane, I want to know what that woman means to you.
Rick, cry and scrod, Nellie. Ain't I got enough trouble? Out of my way, woman. Don't you know there's a ball game on?
Don't you play dumb with me, Kane. We've got you dead to rights, both of you. You and your little catcher friend here.
Look, Mr.
Walker. Now, don't you try to bluff me, Kane. We trailed the guy that slipped you the dough. Caught him and his pals telephoning bets all over the country. The cops have him right now on the pokey. You were going to throw this game today, that's what.
That's a filthy, dirty, rotten lie.
Then why did you take the money?
Evelyn, I took the money because I got a letter. Because the gal that signed that letter didn't know what she was doing. I took the money to bet on myself, to bet that I'd win.
That's right, Walker. I bet the dough for him, even money to win.
Wait a minute. You mean you were going to double-cross the gamblers?
You bet, but I was going to give them back all their rotten dough after I won enough with it to get back them IOUs. Wasn't even going to play crooked with the crooks.
Well, Kane, I think you're telling the truth.
You mean I start, then?
Yes, go out there and warm up.
Shucks, ain't been cool since I left Indiana.
Ah, that we were Red Barber or Clem McCarthy to take you in with the madding crowd at that memorable game. To do cold southern justice to that wondrous game, to describe every move of our hero as he blanked the poor St. Louis's. Nay, blanked is too mild a word, for he bowled them over with his fast one and left them waving helplessly at his downer. But now it's all over, and the pennant belongs to the New Yorks. Our modest hero is solvent again, and he's left the clamor of his fame to sit once more beside the table in Ma's kitchen, home in Indiana.
Now, Elmer, you gotta eat, boy. Have some more.
No, Ma. I'm full. But maybe if you pressed me, you might have some more eggs benedictine.
Eggs benedict... Land sakes, but travel sure has broadened you, Elmer.
Shucks, that's nothing, Ma. You ought to hear me order them grape Suzettis and them swell cafes back east.
Well, I declare. Oh, did you mail that letter he was writing last night?
Yep, and I sure told him. Ma, I says to the club that as long as I'm the greatest attraction the game has ever saw, I'm entitled to $25,000 increase for next season.
My goodness.
Yep.
But I hope you didn't misspell any of the words, especially the 25,000 part of it.
I looked it up. After all, Ma, if it wasn't for me, Philadelphia might have won the flag instead.
Hello, Mrs. Kane.
Hello.
Hi, Famous.
Caught up with your beauty sleep?
Hi, Nellie. Hi, Wade. Yep, I'm catching up.
Elmer, look, I've been in this burg since Monday trying to get you signed to a new contract. Come on, kid. Give me a break so I can scram, will you? Here, I brought it along. Imagine, they're offering you $25,000 after only one season. It's unheard of.
Nope. I've got to get $30,000 this year. Don't throw in the goofballs. 30 or nothing.
Elmer, you mean it?
I'm dead set in earnest, Nellie.
Now, wait a minute, Elmer. You can't do this to me.
Oh, gracious, who could that be?
Maybe it's the Baseball Hall of Fame asking for Elmer's bust.
What do you mean, bust? I never bust yet. Played every minute of every game I was in.
It's for you, Mr. Wade. The Mansion House say they got a telegram for you.
Okay.
Sit down, Nellie, and have some demitasse.
Yeah. Huh?
Hello. Yeah, that's right. Okay, read it. Yeah? Yeah? Well, what do you know? Okay, thanks. Hey, guess what? Evelyn Corey just got married to Dave.
Dave?
Dave Walker, Ma. He's the manager of the New Yorks. No kidding. Did she really marry him?
Oh, that's what the telegram said.
Gee, can you beat that, Philly?
Who's she, Elmer?
The gal you saw in St. Louis.
Oh, the one that followed you around all season?
Yeah. Bet he married her out of pity. Guess the poor little thing was brokenhearted because I wouldn't pay no attention to her.
Say, I got a wonderful idea. How would you like to give Dave and Evelyn a wonderful wedding present?
Huh?
Yeah. Put your name on this $25,000 contract and let me slip it to him. It'll tickle him to death. I'll tell him you signed it because Evelyn was so nice to you when she came out to the ball club to see Dave.
To see Dave?
Well, sure. Well, they were engaged all season.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm giving it to you straight.
Oh, well.
Sure. You see, Miss Poole, Evelyn used to come down and straighten Elmer out for Dave.
Oh, she did, eh?
Now, how about signing up, Elmer? Eh? What do you say?
Let me see that contract.
Sure, here.
Thank you. Well, you just leave this with me, Mr. Wade, and you can wire Dave everything's okay. You'll have these signed documents in 48 hours.
Huh? Well, that's great. Wonderful.
Yep, anything Nellie says goes with me.
Great. Wait till Dave hears about this.
Yeah, I hope he's happy. You see, Mr. Wade, this contract isn't made out for $25,000. It's made out for
$30,000. Huh? No, it couldn't be. But good grief, I pulled out the wrong one.
Oh, so you had one made out for $25,000 and one for $30,000.
Well, now, wait a minute. Oh, do me a favor, will you, Elmer? Never let Dave find out how I blew this deal, will you, please?
Nope, I'll just act natural and play dumb.
I wish to heaven I was as dumb as you are. So long.
Wait a minute, Nellie. What's that other paper you got in your hand?
Oh, this. Just our wedding license.
Our wet? You mean me and you? Excuse me, I mean I and you?
Of course.
But, Nellie, you said when I showed you the picture I had carrying in my watch, you said...
Oh, that was just to get you to leave town and show those big shots your fast one and your downer.
You been feeling about me like I've been feeling about you all this time?
Sure. I knew you'd make good, Elmer. But now everybody will be saying I married you just for your money.
Why, they wouldn't dash do such a thing. If I ever heard anybody even look like he was thinking such a thing, I'd wrap his ears around his throat and
oh,
I'd...
Oh, Elmer... You're so strong, so masterful.
Yeah, just plain wonderful, ain't I?
Hollywood Star Time on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from January 24th, 1948. And that does it for this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBounier. It's been a pleasure.